Elder candidates, would you come forward, stand, and face the congregation? These candidates for eldership, they've already been approved by you. They're going to make vows. And believe me, these are challenging vows, I know, because I have made them. Can you hear me now? Thank you. These candidates are going to make vows to you. They are challenging. I have made them. And I must say, they've been convicting to me because I have not lived up to all of them. And I confess that before you and before the Lord. But here we go. Candidates, if you would raise your right hand. Yeah. And you can respond by saying, I accept or I believe. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as originally given to be the inerrant word of God? Do you trust and submit to their authority and hold them to be necessary, sufficient, and the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I accept.
Do you believe the fundamentals of the doctrine of the Baptist faith and message and the Lausanne Covenant and find them to be consistent with Scripture?
I accept.
Do you promise to continue to live those qualities and practices required of elders in 1 Timothy 3, and in Titus 1, and 1 Timothy 5. Do you promise to focus on the three priorities of loving God, loving one another, and living the mission, and teach them to our congregation by your example and words? Do you promise to faithfully practice the means of grace as are listed in our How to Grow guide? Do you promise to hold your wife and your family as a higher priority than even your pastoral ministry to this church? And do you promise to consider your wife's counsel concerning this priority? Do you promise to maintain a lifestyle of moral alertness and discretion in heart and practice? Do you promise to seek the guidance of your chief shepherd, praying for and ministering to the individuals, groups, and ministries of this church? Do you promise to study diligently and teach accurately the full counsel of scriptures through your example and words? Do you promise to help your fellow elders oversee all that takes place in the life and teaching of this church, including its small groups and ministries? Do you promise to help your fellow pastors protect this church from false teaching, worldly enticements, and anything which would do the church harm? And do you promise to support this church's practice of church discipline consistent with the procedure, spirit, and examples as found in Matthew 18 and in 1 Corinthians 5? Do you promise to love and serve this church family, exercising all the gifts which God has entrusted to you? Do you promise to practice the ministry of mutual submission and edification with which your fellow elders in this church? And do you promise to fulfill your pastoral role with a servant's heart, esteeming the members of this church and their welfare above your own? Do you promise to promote both the purity and the unity of this church, as well as the purity and the unity of the global body of Christ. And do you promise that if at any time you find your beliefs or practices to be out of accord with these vows, you will, on your initiative, your own initiative, make known to the elders of this church the change which has taken place? Thank you. You may stand. And would the congregation please stand? And these are vows for us as a congregation before God and to these elder candidates.
I do.
The reply would be, I do. Do you receive these men as your elders and as members of the elder team? Do you recognize them as God's provision for our guidance, equipping, edification, unity, and protection? Do you promise to hold them in honor and to appreciate their oversight? Do you promise to pray for them and minister to them as our chief shepherd guides you? Do you promise to consider well the needs of their wives and families? Do you promise to accept and promote their practice of moral carefulness? Will you receive their teaching of Scripture and consider their counsel and example with a submissive heart? Do you promise to help them protect this church from false teaching, worldly enticements, or anything which would do the church harm? Do you promise to support their practice of church discipline consistent with the procedure, spirit, and examples found in Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 5? And congregation, will you encourage them and support them in whatever ways may be helpful? Thank you. You may sit down. For the deacons, would you rise? And would you also face the congregation and raise your hand? The deacons, beyond the vows you made as a member of this congregation as a deacon, you can answer by saying, I will. Will you do all within your power to serve the needs of this congregation in such a way that these elders can focus on the ministry of the word, prayer, and their other responsibilities as shepherds? Will you invite and receive their help where useful in your ministry to this congregation as a deacon? And will you receive their leadership and work together with them in all things needed for the well-being of this church? Ed, fellow elder.
David and I will take our vows at this time. I will read one, he will read one, I'll read one, he will read one, but we are saying them together in our hearts. Vows for fellow elders. Beyond the vows we made, David, as members of this congregation, as fellow elders, we promise to receive these men as our fellow elders and members with equal authority on our pastoral team.
We further promise to exemplify the ministry of mutual submission and edification with these fellow elders.
And we promise to work together as equal partners in the leadership, teaching, oversight, and protection of this church.
And we promise to promote their training and development as elders, and will do all within our power to help them fulfill their pastoral vows.
If you would, lay your hands on David. By the authority invested in us by the Word of God and by this congregation, we pronounce that Steve DeWitt and David Moss are ordained and installed as members of the elder team of Cross Point Fellowship. You can applaud if you want to. And we're going to have a laying on of hands at this time. If you desire to come forward, feel free to do so. I'd love for the deacons to come up, anybody nearby. Wives would be nice as well. But we're going to lay hands on these men and pray for... Go ahead and come up right now. We're going to lay hands on these men and pray for God's blessing upon them and through them. Elder candidates, would be wonderful if y'all came up as well. That would be tremendous. And anybody else that desires to do so. If you're kind of new to Christianity, one of the things we see in Scripture is the laying on of hands by a body, recognizing God's hand and desire to bless and work through a man or men or women or a group. And so we have the laying on of hands. Father, we give you thanks for these men. We pray that you would in every way fulfill your perfect call and plan, that call from eternity past, using them as instruments in this body for its worship, for its growth in the love of you, the love of one another, the love of the lost, that you would use them powerfully to protect this church, to guide this church, to supply wisdom to this church, and in every way serve this church as you have designed from eternity past. Thank you for all that you've brought them through. Thank you for their biblical wisdom. We pray for their continued growth and the well-being of their wives and families. Guide us as a congregation to indeed be a tremendous blessing to them. May their leadership upon us be a joy and not a burden in any way, Father, as we honor these men and your call upon them. Anoint them, use them, have your way in them and through them, Father. And thank you for your grace in the gifting of this church with solid biblical elders. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you all. Boys and girls, if you, first of all, right before you go, understand, you know how you want to call me pastor? These men that we've laid hands on, these men are pastors, elder pastors, it's the same thing in Scripture. And so these are more pastors to help you out. That's why we wanted you here. They are your pastors. Boys and girls, you may be dismissed to Children's Church. In your bulletin, you'll find an outline marked excerpts from our Elder's Manual. You say, what is our Elder's Manual? Well, it's the Bible, but to summarize it in a more concise form, it is the pastoral letters, pastoral epistles, and those include 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy, letters we happen to be going through on Sunday mornings here. And so what I've done is we've taken an excerpt from each of the chapters. And again, I'm not going to obviously preach through all that's in front of you in the sermon outline. I want to, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to highlight these highlights that are for you. I'm going to highlight the highlights. This is good for everybody here. This is not, I'm going to charge the elders with this, all of us. But this is good. Again, elders are an example, and so this is good and healthy and challenging for every person here, especially if you are a leader in your household. If you're a man, you know, you are the and kind of in essence the pastor of that home, the shepherd of that home. These are very, very important for all of us. Good things to follow. We encourage you to watch these men as they follow Christ, and you'll see these examples. I can say of David Moss and Steve DeWitt that, one, I'm totally in love with you guys. I am a fan. I admire you primarily for your submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of these men are always wanting to know, what does the Bible say about any whatever the issue is? Their question always is, what does God think? In other words, what does the Bible say? And I admire you for that. They're not yes men. They are men searching the Scriptures, growing in the knowledge of the Scriptures, and wanting to impart that biblical wisdom and guidance to all of us. And I look forward to their ministry to me personally. Again, I admire both of you greatly. This is long overdue, and we are thankful we finally recognized you officially. God's hand upon you as elders. So I'm going to make this overview fairly rapid, so you got to listen quick, unlike most sermons here. All right, number one, going through excerpts from the elders' manual, 1 Timothy, Titus, 2 Timothy. Good stuff for all of us. Number one, you got to write these points down as we go. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. The goal of our instruction is love. What are we talking about? Love is the word for value. The goal of all that we teach and all that we instruct by our example and our words, our goal is love, love for God, love for one another, love for the lost. May everything that we do together grow us in a value of God, a value of one another, and a value of the lost on this planet. And that's our charge to the elders this morning. Number two, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 and following. Number one is make love your goal. Number two, chapter 2, pray for and on behalf of this congregation. Chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. And goes on to speak about leaders in the world. Men, God uses means. And He's chosen, for whatever reason, to use the means of prayer that we as elders in our oversight of this congregation can pray beyond our ability to physically reach there. We can reach the globe through prayer. We can reach this nation and its leaders through prayer. And the way this nation goes and its leaders go, so the lives of our people can go. We love our people. And we can pray for bosses. We can pray for whatever the situation is beyond our physical reach. God's given us this means called prayer, and we are to be men of prayer. Amen? Number three, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. As an example to this congregation, live above reproach. So we have chapter 3, verse 1. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires, God puts that stirring in a man's heart, to the office of overseer, it is a fine work, a good work he desires to do. An overseer then, listen now, must be beyond reproach. Now that doesn't mean perfect, but that means in the charges made, what that means is in these qualities and practices that follow, husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, etc., in those qualities, they need to be moving in a right direction. No reasonable charge should be able to be made about them. Are they imperfect? Yes, just like you, just like me. But they're going in this direction, and I can say, knowing these men, these qualities that we're not going to go through right now, as much as it pains me to not do so, these men mark these qualities, and they will continue to go in this direction. But men, we are called to be beyond reproach in these things. For example, husband of one wife. That's a literally in Greek, a one-woman man, as you know. We have eyes alone for our wives, and we set that example before the other men, etc., etc., going through the list. So I call all of us elders to be beyond reproach, chapter 3, verse 1 and following. Chapter 4, verse 12 and following, which is number 4 on our list. Men, ensure the salvation of this congregation. Say, what? I call you, I call me, I call us to ensure the salvation of this congregation. We have our text, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 and following. Show yourself an example. Give attention to reading of Scripture, exhortation, and teaching. Don't neglect the spiritual gift. Verse 15, listen. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in these things so that your progress might be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things. Verse 15 again. Take pains. Be absorbed. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things. Listen now. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. The whole flow of thought in this chapter, starting from verse 1 and following, is God allowing false teachers to enter into the church. Elders, all people are called to this, but elders in particular are called to protect this body from false teachers. And through our example, we set what it is to be a true biblical teacher, where the false teachers can be spotted by this body. And we are called to, in every way, protect this body from the false teachers and point out the reasons why they are false. In doing so, because we maintain this lifestyle and we take pains with this lifestyle, we're absorbed in this lifestyle, we pay close attention to ourselves and our teachings, we persevere. In doing so, we protect this body, we save this body from the allurement of false teachers. Take the chapter home and read it starting with verse 1, and you'll find that to be the call in chapter 4. Number 5, honor our family and especially our widows. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and following. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but appeal to him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. So we appeal to others, we come alongside others, we pastor others as our fathers, as our mothers, as our brothers, as our sisters with purity and with honor. Verse 3, honor widows who are widows indeed. There is special attention paid in Scripture, Old Testament and New, to ladies and to orphans, single moms, and the like. There's a special attention paid. That's right and that's good. And so of all the folks in the congregation, we give deference to our widows. We pay special attention to them. Almost the entire chapter talks about our care for our widows. One of the 6 chapters in 1 Timothy chapter in the book of 1 Timothy. All right? So we are to honor our family and especially our widows, and we're going to do that together, and we have a long way to go in that department. Number six, model contentment. With the allurement of the false teachers again in the world that entice the body of Christ, that you can be healthy and wealthy and prosper materially, and it's all about money and bling, and they don't quite say it that way, but they're saying that. Very alluring. Jesus wants you rich. Very alluring. Even though he didn't live that way, and even though his early church didn't live that way, and they were very generous and almost gave it all away. Forget all of that. Jesus wants you rich. That's the going tone today. Very enticing. And our people are being allured in that way. And so the Lord says this in the manual for pastors, and every legitimate pastor follows this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world. We can't take anything out of it either. With food and covering, with these we will be content. Those who want to get rich, and may we not entice folks in that direction, those who want to get rich fall in the temptation and a snare of many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. The love of money, the focus on money, is the root of all sorts of evil. Some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Flee these things, men. Man of God, men of God, and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and perseverance and gentleness. That's the call of pastors, and that's all the more needed in our day. Doesn't mean that's not a call to poverty. Certainly these terms are relative, but we want to do what we can to help our folks. Obviously we pray that every person here would be a billionaire. If it doesn't harm you. We pray most of all, though, regardless of your financial state, that you have a contented heart and that you are not enticing, that this body is not enticing, these elders are not enticing folks toward money. Okay? If you're rich, tremendous, and all of us are in the eyes of the world. But again, we want to, in every way, model contentment of heart. That's 1 Timothy. Titus. Next book in the manual. So this is volume 2, Titus, and chapter 1 and verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. And then he goes on to list the qualifications as he's done in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now the last qualification listed you find in verse 9. Of Titus chapter 1, and he says this, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that this elder may be able to exhort in sound doctrine and refute or correct those who contradict. Because there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, in this particular culture of Crete, Cretans are liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. That's part of that society. This testimony is true. For this cause, reprove them severely, that they, that's these false teachers, may be sound in faith, not paying attention to myths, etc. All right, so what is the call here? There are folks in the protection of this body who must be silenced. I don't believe we have any in our midst in these days, but they certainly want to infiltrate. We've had solid biblical leadership here. It's unlikely they'll see any foothold whatsoever, but these men will be part of that solid biblical leadership that will chase again away these folks who, if they took root here, would need to be silenced. So, number seven, protect this congregation. Know scripture and be able to protect this congregation from the false teachers no matter what it takes. That might seem cruel, that's loving. We love you, we're your shepherds, and we will do all in our power to protect you, at least in this body, from the false. Number eight, Titus chapter 2. Apply the gospel to all of life. The gospel is not something for Sunday. It's not something just for salvation. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the bad news is our sin. The good news is Christ came to pay the penalty of our sin, and we need to make the choice to trust Him as Savior and Lord. That's the gospel. And the gospel is to be applied to all of life. Titus chapter 2, verse 9, as an example, slaves back then, as we've talked about, a good percentage of the population, we don't know if it was 25, 50, or more percent of the population were a slave. That was their social service thing, and you could become a slave, sell yourself in there, and then take yourself out of there once your debt was paid. You work for a family, and there's all different levels of slavery and all like that. I don't want to go into that right now. We're just going to say employees. Employees, be subject to those who are your employers in everything. Be well-pleasing. Don't be argumentative. Don't be stealing from them. Show good faithfulness to those who are over you in every way. In this way, you adorn the doctrine of God. For, why should employees be faithful? For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. In other words, because of the gospel affects how a man goes to work and works on Monday morning. Amen? Gospel has every impact on that man's life. And as elders, we are tasked with applying the gospel to every area of life. Employment's just one illustration, but in everything, the gospel applies. This gospel of the grace of God. What a great phrase. This gospel instructs us, and it guides us in how to live. Verse 15, speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Speak the gospel is point number 9, and that's the next chapter, Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Don't just live the gospel, we speak the gospel. It kind of goes with the previous point, but in the book of Titus, the gospel is given very plainly in chapter 2, and then again in chapter 3, which is a little unusual in Paul's writings, but he gives the gospel kind of in two ways, and so it's core of chapter 2. It's also the core of chapter 3, in my estimation, and so in giving the gospel in chapter 3, we have these words, verse 3. We were once foolish ourselves. If you saw my life, that's an understatement. We were messed up, foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to lust, etc., etc., etc. But, verse 4, when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. That's the gospel. Not on the basis of anything we've done, but by His regenerating work on the inside, by giving us His Holy Spirit, renewing us in His presence, His Holy Spirit. Justified by His grace, verse 7. And so, concerning these things, verse 8, I want you to, here it is, speak confidently. So what's the call here for elders? Speak confidently the gospel. It applies to all of life, and we teach it, and we teach it with great confidence. And the result of that, those who believe in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. The outcome of the gospel is for all of life, including guiding us, like Christ, to engage in love for other folks, one another, and the lost. Number 10, this is 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're moving down to the last book in the manual series, and it's the book of 2 Timothy, and verse 6. Kindle afresh the gift of God within you. What is the gift of God within you? What was the gift of God in Timothy? What is the gift of God within you men? I believe it is plainly your salvation, your spiritual gifts, and your calling that accompanies those spiritual gifts. That is, God's gets the package. That's the gift that God's given to you. And on top of that, as elders, I believe it is the salvation, the gifting, and the calling of each person in this congregation. These folks are a gift. We are a gift to them, and vice versa. Kindle afresh the gift of God, your calling to be a elder in this congregation. Kindle afresh. Light a fire. Heat. Make a fire. If it's starting to die down because we get busy with life, realize that. Or if it dies down in me, realize that. Let's fire up each other. Passion. Enthusiasm, zeal for the call of God on our lives. What an incredible blessing we have to be elders in the kingdom of God. What a blessing. Something we need to be fired up about, have a passion for. And so we are to kindle afresh the gift of God. God's not given to us a spirit of timidity. We don't back down for anything or anybody, but of power and love and discipline. That's true of all elders. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. May we be able to say that to the elders we're going to be discipling, and indeed those we're discipling right now, future elders, elder candidates right now. And so even if we suffer, we live with a passion for the calling that God has given to us. So number 10, maintain your passion. Number 11, train leaders. Verse 1, you therefore, my son, Paul speaking to Timothy, and us speaking to one another at this point, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. Be strong, but be strong in the grace. That means to know that you know that you know God deeply loves you. And we live in the center of that love, no matter what the persecution might be. Verse 2, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so we are tasked with looking for faithful men, not just men hanging out, but men showing themselves to be faithful, serving, going to the digging their way to the bottom of the pile to serve others. We look for faithful men and we invite them in to eldership training, and we entrust to them the things which have been entrusted to us, the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the teaching of Scripture, and the training that is ours from the pastoral epistles and other places in Scripture for sure. So we are to train leaders. And then number 12, we are to study leaders. I pound on our boys in boys' clubs, study leaders. I've pounded on my kids growing up. Study leaders. Wherever you find leaders, study them. Why do people listen to them? Why are they seen as a leader? Beyond their title, study leaders. And so as you train leaders and are studied by those leaders that you're training, study leaders. I get that from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. You followed, Timothy, you followed my teaching and my conduct. You've been listening to what I say, and you've been watching the way that I live. That's what we want others to do. You've seen my purpose, my drive in life, my priorities. You've seen my faith, my trust in the Lord, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings. You've seen me in the tough times, such as happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Indeed, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Welcome to the ministry. However, verse 14, here's the key verse, verse 14. However, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them. And he goes on to talk about Timothy, your mom and your grandma. Where do you learn eldership? From your mom, your godly mom, your godly grandmother. First Thessalonians, Paul speaks about in chapter 1, chapter 2, caring for the body as a mother would care for her child. We learn these things from the godly, even our moms and our grandmas. That's why moms and grandmas need to understand the pastoral epistles, that they might impart them to their grandchildren and their children, the leadership principles herein. And he's obviously talking about himself as well. Timothy, you've studied leaders. You started studying your grandma and your mom at an early age, godly ladies. You've continued to study leaders. That's why you're a leader today. Study leaders, godly leaders. So that's number 12. Number 11, train leaders. Number 12, study leaders. Number 13, the last one, men, leave a legacy. Think about your legacy right now. Your young men, got to be thinking about your spiritual kids, your spiritual grandkids, your spiritual great-grandkids, your spiritual great-great-grandkids. We are called to leave a legacy. So the last chapter that Paul wrote in his life, as far as we know, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5 and following. You, Timothy, never mind everybody else, you, be sober in all things. Keep your head screwed on straight. Think soberly. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. You may not have the gift, but do the work anyway. Share the gospel. Timothy, fulfill your ministry. All the gifts, all the calling that God's given to you, fulfill it. Follow my example. Next verse, verse 6. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Drink, that's part of the Old Testament sacrificial system. And a drink that is poured out on the altar. And Paul sees his life as a drink offering poured out on the worship of God. That's a life well lived. That's a successful life. That life of worship leaves a legacy. I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. Listen, follow this example. I have fought the fight. You'll want to do anything and everything except study Scripture, teach God's Word, be a testimony. You'll want to follow your flesh. Fight the good fight. I have finished the course, what Jesus has called me to do. I have kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. We love the day, worship team, if you would, go ahead and come on up. We love the day when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He is our focal point. He is what life is all about. We enjoy him now. We want to be in his presence for all of eternity. And eldership is about being a shepherd, guiding sheep in that direction toward the good shepherd, guiding sheep to always be looking up for the coming of the good shepherd and following the path that he's laid out for us.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this blessing that we've had today to be able to celebrate together your call upon this body and upon these men. Thank you for the gift of elders. And thank you for blessing this church with the elders that we have. We pray for those elder candidates, more men that shortly we trust will be coming forward. We pray the fullness of your blessing upon them. And we pray, Father, for these two, the fullness of your blessing upon them, and that you would be at work in others, other men, Father, in a path of faithfulness that others in soon time, Father, would be blessed with study and eldership and step into official eldership role. Have your way in each man in this congregation. Have your way in each person in this congregation. And may all of us, including our youngest, learn leadership from our leaders. Thank you for the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.